Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Podcast on this beautiful Tide Tuesday. James Coe here with you with the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin behind the glass. What's up, Alex Gilhar?
Not too much. Well, I think we might be putting Tide Tuesday to bed for a little while until the season comes back. There was some miscommunications last week. I'm the only one that wore a tie this week. So I think it might be time to just...
retiring.
Yes, retiring for now. It's going into the off season.
I hear you. It may come back revamped.
Yeah.
Is what you're telling me here.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good.
It's got to go get into shape. It's got to do some P90X.
Speaking of, that would be myself. I'd like to hit a little P90X. We've got the West Virginia's finest here, Matt Harmon, joining us on the podcast as well. What's up?
Not much.
Okay, good. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. How's it going, my friend?
It goes well. How are you, James?
All right. So we're going to basically take a look at the Senior Bowl today and also break down, give you a little postmortem on the AFC North. We're talking the Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll give you daily daps as well. But let's start by, I guess, giving a quick recap and a quick reaction to championship round here in the playoffs. AFC, NFC, North Championship. Both games did not go the way I thought they were going to go. I was stunned by what I saw there in Denver. The Patriots, they couldn't get anything going offensively.
That Denver front seven played a heck of a game. Like, Tom Brady was running for his life before he even hit the back of his, like, two-step drops out of the shotgun to try and throw the ball. And they took away all of the sort of the slants and little out routes that they made their money on, and it just totally flustered them. It was a really impressive performance from Denver.
Was Julian Edelman alive?
Define alive.
I mean,
he put on a uniform and went out on the field that day. But, yeah, he was kind of a rumor for most of the afternoon.
It was amazing. I was shocked by what I saw. The Patriots offense, which had been running pretty well, just got nothing going in Denver. A total mea culpa on my part. We did the Tostitos weekend scoop thing, and this was a quote from me.
Oh boy.
I think it's cute that people think that this game will be close. It will not.
So you didn't believe this game was going to be close, huh?
It will be a Patriots blowout. yeah. Hey, by the way, so we got Matt Harmon here. He's a big-time Carolina Panthers fan. Kind of a tortured soul.
It's a complicated relationship.
Very complicated. What's your takeaway from this Arizona-Carolina game, man? I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a close game.
I really... You know, like I said, it is a complicated relationship between the Panthers and I, and that's a lot of that is on my end as a human. Like, it's not you, it's me sort of thing.
He's an emotionally complex being.
I am very...
As is his dog.
Very emotionally complex being, yeah. And but what makes me really love this team is how they just, like, when they're on, they can just put the foot on the throat and just suffocate a team that way. And that's really what they did all afternoon or evening, depending on where you live. And Carson Palmer kind of went full Jake Delhomme. And you never go full.
You never go full Delhomme.
No. And which is ironic, you know, it was the same team that did it to Delhomme there, and he had that moment in Carolina. But, I mean, I never – honestly, it's crazy. I never thought that, like, in my adult life that the Panthers would be in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's insane. It's a special moment.
You're making it sound like they haven't been there before.
I said my adult lifetime. I think I was like 11 or 12 the last time they
were. And you were saying that my friend Pete watched the game with us too. You were saying you weren't even as big of a football fan at that point.
Right.
Well, of course. Right.
I was 11.
Yeah.
I was like reading Harry Potter. And
right, exactly.
But anyways, yeah, no, so it's crazy. And it's really exciting. And I love just Cam Newton and the stage there and everything. It's going to be a blast, and I'm excited for you guys to go and meet tonight.
quick hot take here, but I know that it's very convenient to say it's the number one defense versus the number one offense. I don't get it. Like, to me, it's not like Carolina is the greatest show on turf here.
No.
They score a lot of points.
With Ted Ginn.
But that's what I'm saying.
And Philly Brown.
Right. You know what I mean? Fozzie Whitaker and Jonathan Stewart. I mean, Cam Newton is obviously the engine that makes it go. They've scored a lot of points this year. I think they're the top scoring.
They are.
Team in the NFL. That's fine. But they also lead the league in takeaways, man. Like, this is not... this is not a the reason Carolina could put guys away and just absolutely take their soul. Where are they weak? Where, I mean, they're going to score points. They're going to stop you on defense. I just think it's so strange that to me we should be billing this as Peyton versus Cam, and that's fine. But to say it's a number one defense versus a number one, it just
but I think you have
boggles
to,
my mind.
I think you have to bill it that way because you can't really bill it as Peyton versus Cam. Because what do you have any confidence that Peyton can move the ball against this defense?
No.
Right.
Well, and that's the same thing. Even the AFC Championship game was more so the Denver defense versus Brady, not
right.
Brady versus Manning. And the Denver defense won that matchup. Now, are they going to be able to do the same thing, trying to corral that 6'5", 4-foot speed human tank known as Cam Newton? I don't know.
I don't know either. All I know is that I just chafe at when they would say it's the number one defense versus the number one. It doesn't seem to give Carolina their full due.
No, it's more of the like proverbial passing of the torch, you know, especially if Cam Newton and the Panthers win the game. But either way, it's like we're seeing what was and what is now,
true,
you know, on full display between these two quarterbacks. I'm kind of having trouble putting it into words because it's just so weird.
You know, it's cool as I was thinking about this too. If you think about like the last handful of Super Bowls, it's basically been old guard quarterbacks versus new guard quarterbacks because it was Wilson v. Manning, Wilson v. Brady, and
right.
now Cam v. Manning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's
see
pretty
how
cool.
It turns out. All right.
And I'm really excited too for Wilson and Newton to kind of be the
in
new
the future. Yeah.
Brady Manning.
They should
step your game up, AFC. You need some new hot young quarterbacks.
God, is there anybody?
Blake Bortles?
Nope.
Oh, boy. Senior Bowl preview. Let's do it.
All right.
There's a few names out here. A lot of first-rounders. There's no doubt about it. But some deeper guys, too. At quarterback, Carson Wentz.
He's the new hotness.
I know.
He's so hot right now, that
he
Carson
is.
Wentz.
He is. That Carson Wentz. He's so
like, literally, hot. I put him on because he was obviously the hottest name off of the attendees. And then, like, as soon as I was building the rundown yesterday, I see Twitter going, like, because everybody was arriving in Mobile, Alabama, where the Senior Bowl is, and they were like, oh, I'm talking to scouts. They think Carson Wentz, like, not only a lock to be a first-rounder, but a lock to be a top-10 pick and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, whoa.
Where is Daniel Jeremiah's got him in the top five or something.
Four.
Number four to Dallas.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, wait, was it Zerline that had him at four to Dallas? Or
I believe it's Daniel
Jeremiah.
Oh, it's
Jeremiah. DJ. It's DJ.
Yeah, it's Daniel Jeremiah. It's got him number four to Dallas.
And I know Zerline's got him
at
in 12, the top 10 too,
at
right?
12 to the Saints is where Zerline has him. Oh. And then Bucky has him at 15 to the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah!
Los Angeles Rams.
That is insane.
And
Carson Wentz.
Joe Marino, who writes for Draft Breakdown at the Joe Marino on Twitter, he said yesterday, I've not spoken to one person yet in Mobile that did not mention Carson Wentz. The buzz is indescribable.
Now, you know, that I don't remember who it was I saw on Twitter mention this, but I think it was a good point, though, that because none of us, I mean, really, or very few of us knew who Carson Wentz was until maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have a whole lot more scrutiny. You're going to see a lot of nitpicking. I mean, you know, draft season is the time for nitpicking, but Carson Wentz may get nitpicked.
That's why. That's why you won't see him at the combine. That's why you won't see him throw. You won't see anything.
He might need to, though. That's why he's at the Senior Bowl. Is he?
The buzz is so hot that, like, where can Carson Wentz go from here? Right? Like, he can only go down. You see what I'm saying? Like, DJ's got him in the top five. He can only go down. Carson Wentz at a North Dakota State, big, tall, burly guy, can run it a little bit too, run it pretty well actually. But, gosh, I would be shocked if I'm his agent. There's no way. I haven't played Senior Bowl. And that's it. Nothing else. Like, no one's gonna touch this guy because he's at worst gonna be at the end of the first round. At worst. But if he starts throwing around the combine, looking horrible, can't make throws, he could fall out of the top two or three rounds.
If he plays better, though, he could vault himself over a guy like Jared Goff, who pretty much everybody else had at number two going to Cleveland right now.
But DJ's already got him ahead of Goff.
Yeah, other the others didn't.
Yeah.
Goff is ahead of Wentz and DJ's mock two.
Oh, is he?
Yep,
he's
at two.
He's going two?
They have all of them. All of them have Cleveland taking Goff at two.
Wow.
I'm kind of with you, James, that if he nails the Senior Bowl, like if he comes out of this week and just looks like a, you know, a man amongst boys and
right.
all that sort of stuff, looks really good, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't throw
yeah.
the combine. Nobody throws at the combine anymore.
No.
Anyways,
I can't wait until we see Mike Mayock setting up a folding chair on the sidelines at the Fargo Dome for Carson Wentz's pro day.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going
to
do that.
But anyways, that's why it's important to watch him this weekend at the Senior Bowl, is because if he does perform well and he goes in the first round and becomes one of those guys, he could be a name to watch in fantasy circles.
Oh, my gosh. I got to be honest with you. I haven't even begun to watch Carson Wentz tape.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I've watched him play live a little bit, and like I
did
said,
you?
Yeah, like, well, I work here on Saturdays, so I don't have a lot else to do when I'm here.
Good for you.
So I've been keeping up with a lot of college football stuff.
Gosh.
But yeah, no, Wentz is definitely exciting. I mean, I think he has like a playmaker's mentality, and he, like we said, he can run and definitely has an arm. So this is going to be big for him.
All right, so at the running back position, I got to be honest with you. Who is Kenneth Dixon?
He's going to be somebody you want to get to know, James. He
Kenneth
is fun to watch.
Dixon.
He actually,
give me a quick scouting report.
For a matter of days, he was hyper-productive for all 4 years.
Okay.
For a matter of days, actually held the FBS record for the most touchdowns in a career. But then the Navy quarterback, whatever his name was, Keenan, whatever, surpassed him. He's a compact guy. He's like 5'10", like 212.
Okay.
So he looks a little bit
like it.
Looks a little bit like Doug Martin. I was tweeting some vines of him last night, and one of the guys, Rob Donaldson, who does his own website, I think is On the Clock, and he does videos for Draft Breakdown as well, said he kind of reminded him of Doug Martin, and I got that. He's got excellent feet. He's got power. He punishes people, and he's got good hands too.
Okay.
So he's kind of the real deal here, and it's going to be really fun to see how he does at the combine and stuff, how he looks in Senior Bowl, and if he's that kind of like. Because Amir Abdullah was a guy that, you know, he performed really well at the Senior Bowl. He blew up the combine, and then he started rocketing up both the regular draft and fantasy draft boards. So
5'10", 215, if he could put together, you know, a good 40 time and a good showing here at the Senior Bowl, certainly that's a prototypical NFL running back body. You got to like Kenyon Drake, right, from Alabama. The speed, obviously he's a little bit of a one-dimensional back. Seems like a big play third down guy, but you see the tape and you know the guy can fly.
He's got speed. I didn't enjoy watching him as much because his feet, like, it was funny because I wrote this down when I was watching it, and I was reading Zuerlein's profile later, and Zuerlein's first line was, can be exhausting watching him because his feet don't stop ever. Like, literally, it's like he looks like he's honestly, there was an expression like when I used to play soccer a lot more, was you didn't want to have like wasted motion in your cuts and you're moving and on the field and stuff like that. And it just looks like Kenyon Drake, I mean, he's still fast as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But he is just constantly moving, and it doesn't look fluid. Like, you know, other guys will have their their clean cuts and they'll set it up. His feet are just like all over the place, like Tasmanian devil style.
You don't want to be too frenetic.
Don't want to be too frenetic. That's a good way to put it.
I don't know. Works for Darren Sproles.
It's true.
No, but his is much more contained than Kenyon Drake's.
It's probably because his legs are about half as short.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure that helps.
That is true. When you're more compact, you can get away with a little
bit. The only thing that Kenyon Drake might have to work on is his hands a little bit too, because it sometimes looks like he was fighting the ball when he was trying to catch it, and he had a couple drops in his career, and he was injured a lot at Alabama. So
he's going to be a system guy. I mean, he's got to get into the right system, because he's not one of these guys that where, you know, he lands on any team and succeeds. You know what I mean?
No, he's going to have to be a role player too. Probably.
He's not a special team, a role player guy. That's how he gets
third down, Charles Sims type or something like that.
Agreed. Wide receiver. I'm super excited to talk to Matt Harmon here about these wide receivers, because I know you've watched and broken down a few of these guys. No.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of all of them. The guy at the top, who's my favorite, I've talked a lot about him, is Sterling Shepard.
You're big on him.
Yes, very big.
We'll just let Harmon take the floor here.
No, please. I mean, no, really. I mean, of us four, you've done the tape breakdown, and I know you've given him grades. Sterling Shepard, break down his game.
Yeah, so, you know, like I mentioned, I work here on Saturday, so what I've been doing all year basically is charting all these wide receivers for reception perception, and I've finished four of them so far. Sterling Shepard is one of the guys that I've finished the complete sample on, and he was just like, when I didn't know anything about him until I turned the tape on and started working, and immediately was impressed. Polished is the one thing that I really was taking away from him. He's a great route runner, and you don't see a lot of guys that run good routes in college.
He has some sexy vines on Twitter. Like, I haven't watched the actual tape yet, but I've seen things that like Harmon's tweeted out and other people, and it's like you wipe the brow off. You're getting like steamy watching those routes.
Yeah, dude.
For sure. I mean, he, yeah, and like not only does he have a great – like, he gets off press coverage really well. He's – for reception perception, I put a little post up on my website. He just, like, blew everybody away in getting open versus press coverage, man coverage too. He's just, like, he's always open. He's, like, the consummate guy that is consistently running good routes in a variety of patterns. And I think he makes plays with the ball in the air too. And that's going to be the big question, that – can he be a guy that makes plays in traffic? Because if he is, he's going to be really hard to stop, especially early in his pro career.
I think one of the early knocks of these guys from the Big 12 is that, you know, it's more of a wide open offensive league, right?
And they don't play defense down there.
I think it's the misconception, but yeah, they don't have, you know, necessarily lockdown dudes. But and especially because every team is so wide open, it's hard for defenders to shine.
Yeah.
What are your takeaways from that? What would you say to somebody who says something like that about Sterling Shepard?
Well, I actually, in that post that I mentioned when I was comparing Josh Doctson, Sterling Shepard, Corey Coleman, and then like looking at their numbers versus Laquon Treadwell, who obviously plays in the SEC.
Right.
I was saying that like it's one thing I haven't reconciled, that's the word I was looking for. Haven't reconciled in my head is like how to normalize the data between conferences because they are so different.
Right.
So I think it's something that you have to keep in mind when you're just looking at raw numbers. But that's why it's important when you're watching players to, you know, look at their traits. Look at what they're like. Try your best to isolate the player versus what's going, like what they're doing compared to the cornerback or whatever. And I think that's why I do the work that I do. So it, to me, I think if he checks the boxes as an individual, then it's okay.
Okay. Early grade on him.
Oh, I mean, I think he is like a, right now I see him as like a second round pick.
Okay.
For sure. Like a high second round pick. The question is, how is he going to test at the combine? Because I think
right.
He has a really good combine, has a good Senior Bowl performance, I could see him getting into that late first round.
Okay.
But like that might just be me. Because I don't know that everybody feels that way.
Well, it's also a wide receiver.
It is a wide receiver. And this class, I think, is – like Treadwell's at the top for me, clearly. But the rest of these guys are going to be, like, strong second to third round picks, guys that can be contributors.
So I guess that's the number one name that most folks are familiar with.
Yes.
The wide receiver position is Treadwell out of there at Ole Miss. But how does he compare?
I mean, Treadwell's great. I think that there's going to be – a lot of questions about his long speed and, like, what is his 40 time going to be. But to me, I think that he does everything well. I mean, he's the standard of this wide receiver class to me. And
okay.
I think that he does everything well. I know people will focus in on his plays in traffic and how he makes contested catches, and they'll kind of give him that Alshon Jeffrey comparison. But I think that doesn't even do him justice. Like, and that's
– really?
Jeffrey's a good player, but I
Jeffrey's
think
that, a great player.
But I think that Treadwell has potential to be even better.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about these other guys a little bit, too. Who do you want to dive into? Carew?
Yeah, Carew is interesting, too.
Leonte Carew from Rutgers.
Leonte Carew, he actually just measured in moments ago. There's a
ooh,
lot of, if you're on Twitter right now, you're going to see some measurements.
Draft Twitter is a buzz right now.
So he just measured in, I think, at 5'11 and 217. So he's that kind of like compact body style.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could see that when he plays. Like watching him run, he's one of the ones that like I kind of had.
He sounds like a running back.
A little bit. He's kind of built like a running back. And the way he runs routes, too, is like everything is really like choppy, compact. But he knows how to create separation at the stem of routes. And he might be the best vertical threat. Among the bigger name guys.
He's got some speed when I watched him a little bit last night. And yeah, he was good at a lot of those comebacks and stuff and using his feet to get away from guys. He was also pretty quick off the line too, which he had a good release.
5'11", 217.
217.
That's honestly that's kind of Randall Cobb territory though.
That's a big boy for wide receiver.
I know. It's interesting, and you can see that in the way that he plays too. That's the guy that he is.
Wow.
And I think that he is very much he's going to be one of everybody's favorite sleepers in this class for sure.
Okay.
The question – he does have some off-the-field issues.
Okay.
He missed two games with the suspension. I think it was actually a domestic violence accusation got dropped, I think
it
was.
Yeah, it was that got dropped, and then he missed curfew
Yeah. So there's some stuff there that I think is going to push him down the board for
okay. The
draft nicks and all that sort of stuff. But good player is going to – like if he gets in the right system, he's the type of guy that –
His last 2 years, he averaged 19.7 and 20.7 yards per catch. So
that's pretty good.
That's with some bad quarterback.
And this, I was gonna say, don't forget, it's at Rutgers. It's not like he has a potential first round quarterback chucking him the football.
Wow. Two guys that are on this list that I'm not necessarily too high on from the Big Ten. Aaron Burbridge from Michigan, Braxton Miller from Ohio State. Your takeaways, Matt Harmon.
Yeah, Burbridge, I think, is a really, like, I could see him being a solid contributor. For clarity's sake, I've only done two games on him, so I still need a lot more work to do.
Okay.
But to me, he definitely seems like a real solid guy. Didn't break out until his senior year at Michigan State. Really was just kind of a guy, and then he became Connor Cook's leading receiver this year. But he's an interesting player to watch probably in the later rounds. Now, Braxton Miller's interesting because he's a really big name. You know, he started out at quarterback.
Right.
And then moved to – actually, I found a really funny tweet of mine last night that I because I was just looking for, like, old – like, if I had ever, you know, sometimes I go back and, like, search my old tweets, like, what did I think about a player at this point? And I found this really funny tweet from 2014. My girlfriend, not girlfriend now, just texted me, "I hope you didn't draft Braxton Miller and Darnell Dockett on your fantasy teams. God bless her, she's trying." But
so close. Yeah. So close.
Shouts to you if you're listening. I know you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, but so I think he was that was when he was a quarterback was back then, and now he's playing kind of almost like a Percy Harvin wide receiver sort of role. But he is, like, he's a special athlete. Like, he was absolutely eye-popping in that Virginia Tech game to open the season. It's just going to be, like, can he run routes, which I'm not sure of yet. He definitely has the physical ability, but also there was one, I can't remember, I think it was against Rutgers, that he had, like, a deep pass kind of fall in and out of his hands, and he eventually corralled it, but he's still working through all that stuff. It's just going to take some time, but he's a guy that could get on the field right away in, like, some packages and make plays.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised that I know he's trying to make the transition, but it's not that easy. You know what I mean?
Look at Terrell Pryor. I know that Pryor started later
at
the wide receiver spot, but, I mean, you know, Terrell Pryor is still that curiosity, kind of that oddity of, you know, what are they going to do with him? You know, are they going to put him on the field? So I think that transition is going
to
be tough.
But kudos to Braxton Miller for starting it earlier than, like, going to the draft and trying to do it late.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, Denard Robinson, he didn't really even switch until the draft.
Senior Bowl.
Yeah, that Senior Bowl. Exactly.
And they started him at wide receiver, and then finally I think they were like, yeah, actually, let's try your running back.
Right.
And he's made a successful transition.
But so with Aaron Burbridge, too, like I think you said, Harmon, he's going to be a good contributor. Like, when I watched him, he didn't have a ton of eye-popping plays, but he did a handful of things pretty well. Like, he had good hands for, like, snaring, like, low balls and things like that, and making tough boundary catches and good body control. But it'd be interesting to see if he has any, like, splashier plays or can showcase some athleticism, because he wasn't that great. And I know contested catches is one of your metrics, but he would get bodied a little bit on those.
He's not the biggest guy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like you said, nothing popped.
Yeah.
Nothing popped. When I was watching, I only watched a couple of his games last night too quickly on Draft Breakdown. And every time, like, my other players were catching my eye more than he was when I was trying to watch him. So.
Yeah, well, but, which is a big reason why I'm just not terribly high on him. He had a quarterback that, not terribly accurate, but that's okay. It's like you said. I mean, I don't know. He just didn't make a lot of eye popping plays. Will that translate in the NFL? Generally, it doesn't. So, Braxton Miller, man, gosh, what an interesting name. It's like you said. He's just got all those measurables. What a great athlete he is. But it's too bad that he, I think he could have been an okay quarterback. He needs to obviously hone his craft, but. I don't know. It's interesting to me that he decided to switch it up to wide receiver, but that's what he's doing. So we shall see what he does in the Senior Bowl.
And you can see what he does in the Senior Bowl at 1:30 p.m. Central Time on NFL Network.
Boom.
So 2:30
Eastern. Wow, Central Time.
Well, that was what they have on the website.
I like it.
But before we move on, too.
Yeah.
Gelhar has mentioned it. I've mentioned it at one point. DraftBreakdown.com is a really good website to watch.
Oh, like, they're amazing.
Quick cut-ups of these guys. So definitely, if you want to – and honestly – if you want to be good at fantasy, especially if you are like to play in dynasty leagues, go watch these guys yourself. You know, go check it out and see what you like. And because, listen, football is football. You know, you don't have to be like a genius to watch it and see guys that catch your eye.
Right.
Just check it out for yourself and learn about these guys so that when, like, hey, if one of these guys gets in a situation where they contribute as a rookie, you can pick them off waivers before everybody else does.
Right.
And I think, you know, a lot of it, too, is it's so funny. It, you know, Draft Breakdown is such a great website. YouTube's got an amazing amount of cut-ups. It's an amazing amount of cut-ups on YouTube. All you do is just type in the guy's name and watch tape all day long. That's what you could do. And I think if you cross-reference that with where they're projected to go in the draft,
yeah,
use some combine numbers, and then you look at the system that they're going to go into, yeah, you use all that information for fantasy purposes, and there's no doubt about it.
It's fun.
All right, let's dive into the AFC North, shall we? Let's give a quick post-mortem on what used to be the most rugged division in the NFL. Maybe not so much anymore. They've been beset by injuries this year. There's no doubt about it. How about the Cleveland Browns? A lot of changes for the Cleveland Browns. What do we make of what Cleveland has done in the offseason, and what do we take away from the 2015 campaign?
Well, I think in terms of what they've done this offseason, obviously the big change starts at the top. They are team analytics now. You know, bringing in Paul DePodesta, you know, the
Sachi.
Right, you know, Sachi Brown.
Sachi Brown, yeah.
The next guy that comes in. I mean, so they are obviously changing something. And I know that it's easy to look at them and laugh and say, ah, ha, 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 Browns being the Browns. But when you've been as bad as you've been for as long as you've been, it makes sense to try something different. So I think the key is going to be how they use, you know, these metrics, like which ones they value, which ones they use, and how they build a team from that. But, you know, I think we're going to see something different. I don't know if it's going to be better, but we'll see something different out of Cleveland this year.
I'm curious to see. I mean, because last year they didn't have a ton of fantasy like stars off it, other than, you know, Gary Barnkowski finishing as the tight end two.
Barnyard dog. Let's go.
What I'll be curious about is the backfield, especially too, with that split between Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. Because down the stretch, Duke was looking like the more effective back all around, both like just straight running the ball and obviously catching it out of the backfield, which
100%.
Has always been his forte.
And they're not committed to Crowell financially in any aspect at all.
What else is going to be curious to watch is this passing game, because one, Travis Benjamin's a free agent, and two, if Josh Gordon gets reinstated, like whoever they have under center, like
God,
you don't want to talk.
I want to talk about Josh Gordon. I'm so excited for him to be back. He's great. I mean, just a phenomenal talent. And he's one of those wide receivers that when you watch him, like, it's easy. Like, he just was born to do this.
You don't know what kind of shape he's in, though.
I know, but he, at least from by all accounts, he has taken the whole thing seriously. He's always tweeting about how much he wants to be out there. So, you know, of course I'm playing like it's a total guesswork game. But at the same time, like, we know what this guy can do when he's on the field. And if he's in shape.
And healthy and in shape.
Big things are going to happen again for Josh Gordon. And
I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. Josh McCown, I thought, was a stable presence in the backfield.
Well.
I thought he was okay.
If he wants to come back after all those injuries again, or if Hugh Jackson gets his guy at the top of the draft because he's got the second overall pick.
It's a very good point. And it does look like they're going to be taking a quarterback there. I'd be shocked if they don't, which means the Johnny Football era there, short-lived and probably going to be over, I would imagine. But, yeah, I mean, in the running back position, I think Duke Johnson's such an interesting name. I don't know what's going to happen with Travis Benjamin, but what happens with Gary Barnage? Is he a one-year wonder?
That's where I'm leaning right now. I mean, I don't think he completely disappears. I don't think he totally vanishes, but, you know, look, I know Michael Fabiano likes to say beware the magical season. I have a feeling this was the magical season for a, you know, 30-plus-year-old tight end that nobody had ever heard of until about week three.
Yeah, I think that he is still going to be like a usable asset. I would be surprised if he's the tight end two again, but I don't think he's going to completely go away. They did extend him rather quickly, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they like him there. Especially if Benjamin leaves, they won't have a number two receiver across all pro Josh Gordon. So I think that he'll still be a valuable player.
So late round pick maybe as your tight end?
Yeah, I wouldn't go too crazy.
Neither would I.
Well, what are we talking? Are you saying double-digit rounds, 10th round, 9th? I don't think he's going to survive.
I don't know. I would be surprised. I think people will like kind of forget about him.
I think he's going to be overdrafted.
He's really? Going to totally.
I think he's totally going to be overdrafted this year.
I think he's going to be overdrafted over the likes of like Tyler Eifert and Delanie Walker and Travis Kelce. I think all those guys will go before him.
Well, all right. Gary Barnes is Travis Kelce.
I'd take Kelce next year.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody going on the Barnes train?
I'd probably still take Kelce.
That's the most lukewarm response ever.
I mean, that's kind of how, but that's kind of how I feel about it too. Like, I guess
I'll take Barnage. I'll take Barnage in that scenario because I'll tell you this: I think the draft price for Kelce will also be much higher. I think if we're projecting out for next year's draft, it's going to be Gronk going super super early.
Gronk goes early. Greg probably Olsen goes fairly early. I mean, here's the thing. I would take Delanie Walker ahead of both those guys, Barnage and Kelce.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I take Delanie Walker ahead of both of them.
He was the tight end, too, in PPR leagues. 94 catches.
94 catches. Yeah.
Yeah. He was great.
I like it.
Don't sleep on him just because he's a Titan.
Yeah.
Well, he's got Marcus Mariota, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take it. And it's like you guys said, I think he will you want to talk about forgotten man. I think he will be the forgotten man come draft time. But that's okay. So there you go. How about the Baltimore Ravens? You had Joe Flacco there. You had Buck Allen. You had
the injuries on this team, though. Like, as I was putting together the rundown, their top quarterback, their top running back, their top wide receiver, their top two tight ends at times.
Steve Smith is coming back, so that's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, this is actually – I was writing up Joe Flacco's, like, 2016 projections early for our draft game.
Oh, and real quick, forgot their number one overall pick, too. Rashad Perriman, injured.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's actually an interesting wide receiver core, like, if it all hits right.
Smith, Kamar Aiken, Rashad Perriman.
That is interesting at the very least. Like, because I think Kamar Aiken proved himself at least, like, at worst, as a solid number three receiver. Our guy, Matt Francis.
So where's the franchise?
I know,
right,
he needs to be here for this one.
I think, though, while we're talking about Aiken, he's a restricted free agent.
He is, so. But that means he'll be back.
Yeah, he should be back.
Restricted free agent means he gonna be back. But so he's at least a solid three. I think if they get something out of Steve Smith and Rashad Perriman, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, Rashad Perriman's that guy who's supposed to stretch that field. Kamar Aiken can work that 10 to 15 yard area, and Steve Smith can do a little bit of everything. I agree with you. When you look at that trio, it's not bad.
It's just all, you know, it's like it's all health questions. I mean, Perriman has taken exactly zero NFL snaps.
Right.
Steve Smith is
36 now?
37 maybe even.
Yeah, he might hit 37 this year.
And coming off a torn Achilles, I mean, he's my favorite player ever. I don't doubt the guy at all, but I mean, there are some question marks, but like I said, at its peak, I think this could be interesting. And they have two talented tight ends as well.
We didn't talk about your boy Crockett Gilmore, bro.
Well, Crockett Gilmore and Max Williams was starting to play a lot more at the end. And, like, tight ends as rookies never do anything, so I would be
– Never.
I know I loved Crockett Gilmore for this year, but I would probably be – more leaning towards
more excited about Max
Williams
next year.
Future, yeah.
All right, they got an interesting 1-2 punch there at running back as well, in regards to Justin Forsett and Buck Allen. But this is going to be an interesting team. This is going to be an interesting. We don't know what this team is going to look like at all in 2016. Am I fair in saying that?
One thing that I thought, like, just off the top of my head as I was looking at this, like, I could see it being kind of a slow start, like, because Flacco is also coming off a major injury.
Yeah.
And then, like, around week six, these guys all start to kind of click at once. And then, like, I'm going to be, if it all goes the way I'm thinking, like, I'm going to be buying Ravens midseason like crazy.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll throw a few darts. This is a team that people are going to sleep on a lot because, like, you look at it, their highest performer was Crockett Gilmore at tight end 24.
Yikes.
Like, at their positions.
Yikes.
So, like, people are going to sleep on this team. I will throw a few darts late in rounds because they're all going to be coming off of injuries and stuff and try and bank them. Or, like you said, Harmon, scoop them up midseason. Because let's not forget, this is a well-coached team with a good coordinator, too, that's going to just have a huge influx of talent, both coming back from injuries and probably the draft, too. So it could all come crumbling down, but it seems to be going back towards a situation where there could be some fantasy success here.
I don't see a lot of holes. Offensively, I mean, I don't see a lot of explosion either. Like, there's not a guy on here that's like Nuke Hopkins or something. But you know, I don't see a lot of holes. They've got solid running backs. They've got a solid quarterback, solid wide receiver, solid tight end.
And I think that's the thing. I mean, the Ravens aren't going to be the roster you go to get your frontline fantasy guys.
Right.
But if you're looking for
right.
good role players, you're looking for an RB2. If you're looking for a flex option or somebody you can, you know, plug in when the matchup is right, then I think the Ravens are your team.
There you go. How about the Cincinnati Bengals? Andy Dalton, when he was healthy, was on fire somehow, some way this year. You had Jeremy Hill, who was just a conundrum. Gio Bernard was there as well. And A.J. Green, I thought he performed admirably this season. And then there's Tyler Eifert, who was just a touchdown-catching machine. Takeaways from the 2015 Bengals, Marcus Grant.
You know, they were good, But I felt like they left us wanting more, I guess is the best way to describe it. I mean, Andy Dalton had a fantastic season until he got hurt. You know, A.J. Green was very much up and down this year. I think for a lot of people who drafted him, you know, spent maybe a second-round pick on him, they were left wanting more, I think. You know, Tyler Eifert was fantastic, but, you know, he missed games with injury. Jeremy Hill, I'm looking at his numbers now. Jeremy Hill was the number four overall running back.
Taken in 2015.
No. Oh. Finished as the fourth best fantasy running back.
Wait, are you sure about that?
No, he's
the 14.
RB 14. I'm pretty sure.
No.
Yeah, he's not the fourth.
Am I looking at the wrong league here? I've got him at number four behind D'Angelo Williams.
Nah, bro.
No, he's – no, because it was Devonta, Adrian. Those might be available players. Somebody might have dropped.
Oh, you know what? Never mind. Take that back. You're correct. No, I was looking at – I had sorted by touchdowns. My bad. Human error here.
There's the rub.
Human error here. But he had 11 touchdowns, but he had fewer than 800 rushing yards.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. That was you know,
paging
like,
Jerome Bettis.
What do you do with that? I mean, Gio Bernard, another guy who was really disappointing. It's like – The Bengal offense to watch was very productive from a fantasy standpoint. It made you pull your hair out.
Right.
To put a little context to the touchdown dependency that you're kind of alluding to here, in games where Jeremy Hill did not score a rushing touchdown, which he had double digits, he averaged 5.01 fantasy points.
Solid.
That is a cataclysmic bottom hole of a four.
And also he always like doubled up his touchdowns. So he only scored a touchdown in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, and that's including week 17. So
Costco back. Get it in bulk.
And know what's crazy about Gio Bernard too is I actually saw. I wish I would have wrote this down for the podcast, but he had one of like the highest numbers of red zone carries for a running back, but like didn't score a touchdown.
Two touchdowns all year.
It was insane. Because I mean, obviously, I think they gave him the ball like at the 18, which still counts as a red zone carry.
Did he not come out of the gates on fire and just kind of peter off to the end there?
A little bit. I mean, he was racking up more yardage and stuff earlier on,
right?
But then he was just kind of always like in that 80 to 90 yard range, and then he did slow down a little bit at the end. But
AJ Green, what do we make of his season, and where do you guys project him for 2016?
I think his season had its ups and downs, but he finished the season strong, and as we see, I mean, he finished, granted it hurt a lot of people with his low weeks, but he finished with almost 1300 yards and 10 touchdowns.
That's like, amazing.
I will definitely take a shot at AJ Green in that second to third round range, depending on how the draft falls with wide receivers, as you know, like a wide low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two.
AJ Green, just
hope he evens out a little bit more, because when he does go off, though, it's like game over. You won your week.
I mean, that's what was so interesting about stats in general, right? But AJ Green in particular, it's like that dude had 1,300 yards. If you were to follow him on a week-to-week basis, there's no way in hell you thought he had 1,300 yards.
Yeah, the thing I talked about with this offense all year is that, like, they have so many talented players. They have these two guys we've already talked about. Like, well, all the running backs who deserve touches, especially Gio Bernard's a receiver out of the backfield, too. Green is obviously number one receiver. They have Tyler Eifert as a stud tight end. But then they also have guys like Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu who command, especially Marvin Jones, command some targets too. So that's why I think AJ Green was so volatile, because Andy Dalton's not like 2013 Peyton Manning. Yeah, can make all tides rise in the offense on a week-to-week basis. However, Sanu and Jones are both
free agents. That's what I was going to say.
They're both going to – and I would be surprised if they're both back. So maybe that opens up some more targets for Green.
I would be shocked if they let go of Marvin Jones.
I wonder if Hugh Jackson makes a big push to bring him to Cleveland.
I've heard that speculated a lot as well.
Okay. All right. I like it. AJ Green next year, though, where do you guys project him? Is he a second-round guy, third-round guy?
I think he falls to the third
probably,
round.
Probably third.
Three. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
But just because there's so many good wide receivers.
Pittsburgh Steelers, speaking of good wide receivers, this offense, whew, watch out. I mean, it was just unbelievable what these guys were putting up on a week-to-week basis. Antonio Brown has a legit shot, a legit case to be made that he should be the number one overall pick, even in standard drafts next year. I you know, Adam Rank and I had debated this for NFL Now, as to who should be the number one, the 1.01 next year. And he took Antonio Brown. He made a pretty convincing argument because, you know, again, you talk about those safe floors, Antonio Brown's right there. He's right there. And I think a lot of people are going to be gun-shy next year in regards to running backs because of the injuries this year. Despite that, I made a pretty strong my case to say that David Johnson, if I had the number one overall pick, I'm going to take David Johnson.
I love you so much.
It's I know it's insane.
I love you.
Look, I know it's
I think
insane.
Harmon wanted to kiss you on the mouth just there. Yeah.
Look, I know it's insane. And people on Twitter were saying you're nuts. That's who is David Johnson? I get it. But here's the thing, when you have the number one overall pick, you're not getting value, guys. You're not going to get value. So, I get it. David Johnson, if I were to do just pre-draft rankings, David Johnson's like, I don't know, like 6 or 7, okay? But, like, I'm not going to get him at 6 or 7, right? Yeah. I got to get him. If I'm going to get him, I got to get him at 1.
You got to go get your guy.
Right. Go get your guy. Go get your guy. What do we take away from the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2015?
Well, whereas you're going to the Baltimore Ravens to get kind of your number two guys, yeah, the running backs, wide receivers, et cetera, you're getting your ones in Pittsburgh. Mm. You know, you're getting Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You're getting, you know, Lev Bell. You're getting – even a Martavis Bryant has, you know, he may come off the board drafted as a wide receiver too, but he will give you wide receiver one potential on
a week-to-week
weeks.
Basis.
Yeah.
No,
so, you know, that is, you know, it's funny because, you know, obviously the Steelers traditionally have been known for defense. Now they are an offensive juggernaut. I mean, when all those guys are there, when Roethlisberger and either it was Williams or Bell, Brown, Bryant, all those guys, they were a juggernaut. They were fantasy gold.
Hey, speaking of number one overall picks, Michael Fabiano has been preaching Lev Bell as the number one overall pick. Do you guys agree with that? Here's the thing. For me, because of the way how well D'Angelo Williams played and with the injury concerns surrounding Le'Veon Bell, I really think that there's going to be some question marks as to whether or not the Steelers use a more of a committee approach moving forward.
Yeah, we talked about this, I think, with like
a week or two ago.
Yeah, a week or two ago with like Fitzgerald Toussaint is like why he was a pretty decent DFS play in the playoffs is because Mike Tomlin has historically always preferred just one running back. And I think the Steelers running back, whether like in games where Williams or Bell finished, they averaged like 92% of the snaps. So like even when Bell came back and Williams had clearly proven himself to be an asset, they really didn't use him much at all. I think Bell will still be the guy. Williams is definitely just probably like the best insurance policy out there. And if Bell gets hurt again, Williams will be fresh to then take that workload on himself.
Let's not also forget that Williams had an injury at the end of the year, not as serious as Bell's, and he's going to be, what, 33?
I think he's 33.
Yeah. Do you guys trust in Lev Bell as being a, you know, look, he's going to be one of the first five picks off the board. Do you trust him there?
Right now, I could.
Yeah.
I do.
What I also like about taking a running back like Lev Bell instead of like Antonio Brown is I'm sure Rank had some good points, but if injuries are not just limited to the running back position. If Roethlisberger gets injured again, that murdered Brown's fantasy value.
True.
Like when Landry Jones and Michael Vick were in there, like Brown disappeared. Whereas like the running back is a little bit more quarterback proof if the quarterback gets injured. So I think that's the safety there of taking one of those guys because Lev Bell still produced when Mike Vick was in there. Guys like that year Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone, Eddie Lacy still produced without him. Adrian Peterson has been producing without a quarterback his entire career.
It's amazing.
So there's that. That's the safety I feel then with taking one of those guys as opposed to a wide receiver 101.
All right. Where do you take a guy like Martavis Bryant?
I was going to say
Harmon.
Let's turn to Harmon because that's one of his boys.
All eyes turned to Matt Harmon here.
The season was so weird for Martavis because we saw some of the flashes and then he kind of got frustratingly –
Then we started seeing Marcus Wheaton for a couple of weeks.
So Harmon, what do you think?
Wide receiver 33 overall, but remember he did miss the first four games. He finished 15th in points per game played.
He actually missed the first five games.
Correct. Because
he injured.
Had an injury coming off the suspension. That's right. I love you, James, because of the David Johnson thing, because I'm just such a sucker for upside and for potential. And
100%.
Just completely like willing to get totally intoxicated on these guys. And Martavis Bryant like is the summation of that.
Yeah.
He had an average depth of target of 15.2 for the entire season per Pro Football Focus, but we saw that go up and down. Like at different points in his rookie year, it was like at 19, and then early in the season it was at a 19 range too, which is, you know, almost like you're an exclusive vertical player. However, then we saw for a stretch there, like he was kind of used closer to the line of scrimmage. People think he has like drop issues, but when the guy's being asked to make like consistently the most difficult catches to make in the league, you know, I don't really consider it that big of a deal. He does have some areas he needs to work out, but he can win you your week, like, on one play.
Absolutely. Right.
And, I mean, he's going to be popular. People are going to fight over him, and I'm going to be one of the ones leading the fight.
All right, so where are you going to start being comfortable taking him? Fifth round? Earlier?
Fourth.
Fourth round.
I would go fourth. I was taking – I mean, maybe I'm an idiot. No, I'm not. But I was taking him, like, in the fourth to fifth round of drafts this year.
Yeah, I was going to say – that's why I was –
before the suspension.
That's why I was curious about how – where his stock was going to go, is because that was kind of his area last year, and then, like – it's still kind of like hit it, I guess. So it's going to be interesting to see if people like allow these last few weeks where he was kind of quieter.
He
to,
was
like,
very
to,
quiet.
To cloud their judgment of what kind of player he actually is.
Well, that's the thing that people always forget too when you're looking at like Final Fantasy numbers. Like, he did play two more games in the playoffs where he stepped up, especially in that Denver game, man. Like, they, you know, Ben obviously challenged him at the beginning of the playoffs.
Right.
And then Martavis Bryant responded like by being the number one receiver for the Steelers against the Broncos with Brown out. So I think that's an even more
for
important
sure.
data point.
All right. So Matt Harm's going to take him in the fourth. MG, where are you taking him? Fifth, sixth?
No, I mean, I don't see him lasting that long. I mean, I think if you're getting him, you probably are getting him in the fourth round just because because the hype is going to be there. I mean, everybody sees the potential, and you're going to see that flipping playoff catch, you know, where he flips out of the back of the end zone. You're going to see a ton of that.
How was that a catch?
I don't think it was a catch. It's not a catch.
but judging by your human rules, not aliens.
But no one knows what the rules are, so right. It was a catch. You know, but you're going to see that. You're going to see the speed and the potential, and you're going to remember how good this Steelers offense is, and I think he's going to come off the board in the fourth round.
Gosh.
I can't wait to draft.
I can't pay that price, man.
I can't wait to draft a fantasy team with David Johnson in the first round.
Okay, good.
Allen Robinson in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh Gordon in the third round.
There you go.
And Martavis Bryant
in the fourth. Yeah, boy.
Like,
you come back and get Blake Bortles in the fifth?
Buddy.
I wouldn't do that. Unless I get crazy. But and that team will either like slaughter all souls or crash and burn.
Yep.
That's going to be great.
I love it.
Hey, Ben Roethlisberger. We talk about this being a tremendous offense. It starts with him, though.
Yeah.
It really does start with him. The offense struggled when either he struggled or he just wasn't out there. Where do you take Ben Roethlisberger? I love the potential that Big Ben gives you on a week to week basis. And I know he put up a couple of horrendous games, but man, when he carries you, he carries you.
Yeah, I think he's a good like one of those. If you're waiting on a quarterback, because he probably won't still be one of the first ones off the board, but he should be one of those first ones probably off the board in the wait on a quarterback run. In the later rounds, whenever that starts,
he'll be a top five quarterback taken.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know how long you can. I don't. If you're waiting on quarterback, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I mean, not like super late. I'm not saying like you wait till round 12 to get him.
Got it.
No, I think he's off the board by round 8.
Yeah,
9.
Yeah, that's what
just
I was going to say.
Normally too rich for my blood to take a quarterback.
Gosh, I think he'll be gone by round 6.
Could be.
Yeah, a big name guy, big name team. You know, obviously a lot of fantasy drafts are regional. You know, if you have a fantasy draft in Boston, you know, Patriots are flying off the board way early. I was part of a league that was primarily based in Seattle. Russell Wilson went in the first round just because they wanted to get there. Again, you want to get your guy.
Not shocked.
Right, exactly. So, you know, drafts are regional. So, I mean, obviously, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, Ben Roethlisberger going to be gone super quick. But yeah, out on the West Coast even. I mean, there's a lot of Steelers fans everywhere. So, yeah, it's interesting.
So, does this mean now in Los Angeles that, you know, Case Keenum's going to start coming off the board in like the sixth round in drafts and stuff?
Only if you want to win every game.
Oh, my.
Oh,
all right, should we dap it?
Yes, let's dap and get out of here. All right, Daily Dap time. We shall start with the WizKid from Wisconsin. What's up?
A couple things. I was actually at the gym, so I had to go back and find it later. But E60 on ESPN, I know it's like hearsay to talk about the other network.
The other guys.
But they did on E60, obviously, you know, they always do their different stories on stuff in sports. And they had a really cool feature that was following the main American team in the big Dota 2 international video game circuit back in August.
Okay.
It's a video game competition. They had it at the Key Arena in Seattle. Total prize pool of over $18 million.
Wow.
For a video game. And this was the first time this American team had ever won, and they had a documentary following them all beforehand.
That's
and
great.
Then through the tournament and stuff that they won. So that was a pretty cool feature. And if you want to see like what the future of like sports and stuff is, like Esports is coming up. Like $18 million for playing a video game.
I wouldn't say it's the future of sports.
Right. I didn't mean that
it's
like.
It's not sports.
Now, hold on. I didn't mean that as like all sports, but like it is going to come into the fray. Like if you told somebody in the 50s, like, man, this soccer thing, people are going to watch it, they would have said the same thing. They're like,
okay.
Lawn fairies. Okay.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you this. My brother works for a prominent video game company. I love video games.
Mm-hmm.
I am a good Asian male. I love video games. but no, but to say, and like, I get it. ESPN's making a humongous push to tap into the video game
circuit. They covered it too.
Yeah, they have a whole part of their. They opened up a big part of their website just dedicated to e-gaming,
mm-hmm.
and e-gaming is huge. I think I read somewhere in one of the trade publications that Turner Sports is thinking about doing e-gaming as well. So look, it's there. It's not sports.
Can we just call that not called sport?
It's not sport. It's a tremendous lifestyle thing.
It's wonderful.
It's awesome.
It is sports the way poker is sports.
It's not sports.
It's not sports.
Right. I have no idea what you guys are talking about right now.
There's some clouds outside you guys can yell at too when you get out there.
I mean, I love video games. Just love video games. Let's just come up with a new term. Let's come up with a new term.
What do you define as a sport then? Does it have to have a ball?
No, but you got to get off your ass and do something.
I would agree.
These guys got off their ass. They trained for hours to play that.
Okay, but they were on their ass training. I mean, that's kind of, that's. I don't know. I.
What
it's not
you guys like, what I haven't been listening for. The- You're the youngest one here, and you're the most confused about.
So
this whole
so wait,
thing.
James, is yes. NASCAR a sport?
There is physical exertion. There's a lot more physical exertion.
Everybody's on their ass for the entire time.
There's a lot more physical exertion, and I don't even like NASCAR.
I am gonna get blown up on Twitter. Right, NASCAR is not a sport. It's not.
Wow.
It's not. Like me driving to work. I mean, I got into an accident.
Okay.
Like. I'm sorry. I'm not. I didn't wake up that morning saying, "You know what, man? This is what a sport."
I don't know.
This is.
Driving in the LA freeways is kind of a sport. That's kind of a sport out here.
It is a competition
in the sense that death race is a sport.
No, it's. I mean,
but anyways,
I'm sorry. It's not.
All right, old man, yell at your clouds. It's
right.
Fine. So there was that, and then what else was? Oh, I wanted to just Daily Dap draft breakdown. We talked about it a little
there
earlier, but we have other tools here to watch games. But I wasn't at the office, so I just wanted to get a quick. You know, synopsis of these guys before we talked about them on the pod. You can go to Draft Breakdown. They got lots of videos for guys. And then, too, what's fun is even if you don't want to get that into draft season, once your team drafts players, if you want to get a sense of who they are and what they can do, check them out on Draft Breakdown.
All right. There
Ryan
you go.
Perez, send us a check, buddy.
Marcus Grant, what's up?
I am daily dabbing Spotify, and I was kind of late to the party. Not with Spotify. I've been on that forever. But this Discover Weekly playlist.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen people tweeting about it, and it would always pop up in my little overview every morning when I open up Spotify. So last week I finally dove in, and holy crap, man. This thing is great. Obviously, it's based on what you listen to, and it kind of, you know,
gives you new music and some older record cuts.
All hail the algorithm. You know, whatever it is that they use to put that together. This is my second week of just sitting out and I won't say vegging out because it's great to listen to while we're sitting here working and we're writing and we're watching tape and that sort of thing. Man, this is fantastic.
Good stuff.
So, daps to that.
All right, how about it, Matt Harmon? What's up?
I'm going to go with music, too. I'm the type of person that when I find a song that I like, I will listen to it again and again and again without conscious. I don't care.
Nice.
So one song that I've been listening to a lot lately, it's by an artist called Hoonch that I've never heard of before.
Nope.
The song's called Top. It's a really upbeat, like energetic, sort of like positive song. Like when you hear it, you can't help but be like happy. And I got something coming up in my personal life that I'm really excited about, and it kind of makes me think about that. And it's so
wow, what a tease.
Like very, very strong positive energy sort of thing, which I'm all about, keeping with positive energy in your life and all that sort of stuff. So
what a tease there.
I'm a tease.
We're not gonna get any insight into what this big life event is of yours.
Maybe on the Feelings podcast.
Okay.
or in it, maybe we can dive. We can always dive into my personal life. I don't care. I'll talk. I love to talk about me.
All right. Love it. We will save that for the for next week's podcast, perhaps, if it makes it onto the rundown. We'll see from the rundown master.
Harmon's upcoming event.
Right.
Yeah. That should be a segment.
I don't know if it's really a dap. It's like a dap and an anti-dap because I'm playing Destiny right now. Speaking of video games, I'm playing Destiny right now in full force. My wife hates me to no end, But I'm playing Destiny. I didn't realize when I bought it, it's an online-only game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'd be like every other game where it's a first-person shooter, you go through the story campaign, and then...
But the story itself is, like, online, too.
Yeah, so. You can't play this game. You cannot play this game unless you're online. What's going on?
Patrick Claibon, our esteemed colleague,
yes.
Just slacked us something.
There's B.O.B. heat going on in our inter-office chat right now.
There's B.O.B.?
There was B.O.B. heat on the radio this morning as I drove in, too.
Wait, why?
What, did you not hear about this?
No. We'll interrupt your daily dap real quick for those of you who haven't heard. The rapper B.O.B. apparently is a flat earth truther and has been going on Twitter.
Flat earth truther.
For those who can't see, because obviously this is an audio podcast, James just closed
just
his eyes and leaned his head all the way back.
He's been going on Twitter spouting his flat earth theories. He got checked on Twitter by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Of course.
He's responded, though,
with a diss track, which I think might be the first ever diss track written about a scientist.
Dude.
There you go.
I got to listen to it.
Anyway, so back to you.
I didn't know the diss track.
That came out this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So
I can't wait to listen to it.
Anyway, back to your
I'm going to daily dap a diss track to Neil deGrasse. That's amazing. Go B.O.B.
Not Neil deGrasse, not the high school from Canada or whatever.
Or whatever.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Whatever his name is.
Anyways, did you have a point you were going to finish making on Destiny?
Now I'm just lost. anti-dap for Destiny being only available online. But dap to the actual game, though. It's a very smooth shooter. I know it's the same guys that made Halo, the original Halo. So it's a very, very smooth game. It's just it's almost there. And I think that's kind of what's frustrating about the game. It's almost a great game, and it just ends up being an okay game
last year when it came out. But I honestly played it for like an hour, and then the season came, and I was like, "Well,
see ya."
That was fun. So I honestly, God, haven't put it back in since. But I felt similarly in my like 2 hours that I played it.
Yeah, it's a good solid game, but I just felt like it could have been great. So anyway, so there you go. Boy, I'm gonna I can't wait to get out of this podcast to go listen to this B.O.B. diss track. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, and West Virginia's finest man Harmon, I'm James Coe. See ya.
What's up, everybody? DJ here from Move the Sticks. Along with Bucky Brooks, our podcast, we look at the NFL through a player personnel perspective, looking at teams, looking at matchups, looking at the NFL draft. You can catch us on Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes.